yesterday we left off, we discussed Begadol, right, like in general, about dressing nicely for tefillah, or dressing down for tefillah, how to hold your hands during tefillah. So I think we mentioned that the Rambam's idea of holding your hands over your heart like this. How many people ever see someone do you do it? You know, but you've seen people do it. Right, so the question is, why don't we do that? So the Aruch HaShulchan writes already, I think it's the Aruch HaShulchan, yeah, the Aruch HaShulchan writes, the Ein Tivei B'nei Adam Shavim B'zeh. People's nature are not the same when it comes to this. There are lots of people that it's just uncomfortable to daven in such a way. What does he mean, a daf adabuk b'kosel? The daf that's attached to the wall. So I think they used to have like pop-out shtenders that were attached to the front wall of the shul. So that's like a shtender, meaning like if you have something in front of you, they say like speakers, when you you could tell how nervous the speaker is. You put them up at a podium, so some speakers are like, you know, they're animated and moving their hands and this and that, and sometimes they're holding on for dear life. Just like they see you know, their fists are clenched like they're at the dentist or something, right? They're all holding on for dear life. That's a sign of nervousness. But when you're davening, sometimes that's just the most comfortable position to be in. Obviously, if you're holding a sitter, so that your hands are going to be occupied with that, so you're not going to be able to do like this, to hold your hands over your heart. So it's not, the Aruch HaShulchan says, it's not like the biggest deal that you have to hold your hands over your heart, meaning the Rambam was just trying to paint the picture of a respectful pose. But as long as you're respectful in the way that you're standing in front of Hashem, this is a question about mood in tefillah in general. I spoke about it in Temen Halacha this morning. This morning I spoke in Temen Halacha about happy hallels. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, they have sometimes people take out a guitar and a banjo, I don't know, whatever, something. What?
Drums,
whatever, right? And they'll dance around the shul with hallel. Anyone ever participate in such a hallel? Yeah. You can admit it. I'm not going to... Yeah. What?
DRS does it.
DRS does not do it.
Right.
It is a misconception.
Yeah.
What happens is on Yom HaTzmaut, Rabbi Kamenetsky does it, because hallel's after davening. So it's not part of davening. He would never do it during davening. But... the question, right? But you're making the point, meaning the counter argument, I've been in these Rebbe's discussions, the counter argument is, what do you think the kids are going to remember? That it was after davening, that it technically wasn't part of davening, or that Rabbi Kamenetsky plays guitar during that, you know, during Hallel? So, haraya, I guess that's what people remember. But, you know, but one of the poskim, the reason I'm mentioning this is, I mentioned this morning that one of the poskim, the Nesivas in his Tshuvas, Rabbeinu Yaakov Melisa, says he doesn't understand how you can play music in the middle of tefillah. He's not talking about Hallel. He's talking about, the reform movement and how they play music during Chazar Sashat and whatever, like Kedusha. He says, tefillah, you're ka'avda kamamare. You're like an eved in front of his master. He's bouncing around and dancing around. That's not what tefillah is. You could argue that is what hallel is, right? I mean, you could argue that hallel is like you're singing his praises and you're, I mean, hallel should be lebedik. But it is important that a person should understand the tefillah that he's saying and what not just the words of the tefillah, but what those words signify, what the mood of the tefillah is that he's saying. So, like hallel in almost every shul nowadays, if people have time and they're not rushing off to work, it's considered very appropriate to sing and to make it labor, because that's what hallel is. But there are parts of davening that are certainly not meant to be that way. They're certainly meant to be, you know, like... It's a big kasha that the Achronim raised. Why is it that when we do Ashamnu Bagadnu B'tzibur, when we do B'yichidus, you know, bow down and just, you know, very quietly under our breath, which makes a lot of sense, but then all of a sudden we do B'tzibur, Ashamnu Bagadnu, all of a sudden there's a song of Ashamnu Bagadnu, why are you singing that? That's a good kasha. It's a good kasha because you have to ask those kashas. There are good terutzim to that one, something that's a minig Yisrael. But to make up things that are, that reflect a total lack of understanding of the tefillah and of the mood of the tefillah, that would be inappropriate. So a person has to know that the Rambam's telling you this is how you should stand when you're davening Shmona Esrei. I mean, you stand in a humble pose, your hands over your heart, because that's a proper reflection of someone who's coming to beg for his life and for his refuah and for his parnasa and for all the things that we're in, for geula and for Yerushalayim, for all the things that we're davening for. Okay, but let's go back to levush for tefillah, to how we dress for davening. So we said yesterday that we're going to get into some of the details today. So one detail that comes up in a lot of places is wearing a hat for davening. This is like a thing that, you know, in many places is considered like, it's just like a social thing. Like you're in certain yeshivas or I guess, you know, or camps or whatever, and it's considered like, okay, and it's considered Leo Anavi, and it's considered like you're not, you know, you're not playing the part, you're not fitting in if you don't wear a hat for davening. But is there any like halachic basis for such a thing to wear a hat for davening? You know, sometimes guys go to Eretz Yisrael for a year or two, and all of a sudden they come back from their Hesder Yeshiva, where the Rosh Yeshiva didn't wear a hat, and all of a sudden they're wearing a black hat. So like, where does that come from? Remember when my oldest son, I bought all my children a hat for their bar mitzvahs, and usually they wore it in Yeshiva Katana while they were still there, and that was it. And then when my oldest son came about a year ago. A little over a year ago, he started wearing a hat. So someone came over to him in shul and said, "Oh, you're in shidduchim, I see." So he's like, "What are you talking about?" "From a hat. I assume you're in shidduchim." It happened to have been. It was like very shortly thereafter that he was in shidduchim, and it must have been a school or something because he got married. So and there's no way my daughter-in-law would have married him if he wasn't wearing a hat. So that worked out well. But is there any halachic basis? So the Aruch HaShulchan writes in Aruch Haim Sim Sadial, listen to the words. He says, "Ubimedina senu." So first thing you got to know is, where's that? Right? Where was the Aruch HaShulchan? Was he Sephardic? Was he Ashkenazic? Was this the 21st century, the 20th century, 19th century, 18th century? Like, because if he's talking about something that's related, when the sentence starts with "Ubimedina senu," right, it means that there's something about that time and place that dictates whatever he's about to say. Okay, so the Aruch HaShulchan writes, "Ubimedina senu." Who was the Aruch HaShulchan? Who knows who the Aruch HaShulchan is? What? Epstein, very good. Rabbi Chaim Michael Epstein. He had some very famous relatives also. Who were some of his famous relatives? While I take a sip of my coffee, you could fill us all in.
His son, Tartamima.
Very good. His son was the Tartamima. His son's uncle, or his brother-in-law, was the Netziv. That's very famous because the Tartamima wrote a book called Makar Baruch, and they translated it into English and they retitled it and they called it My uncle, the Netziv. So the Torah Tzvim's brother-in-law was the Netziv. Anyway, so the Aruch HaShulchan writes, the Aruch HaShulchan's brother-in-law was the Netziv. Ubimedina seinu, ein lispalel af kshar rosh mechusa b'kisoy katan. You shouldn't daven even if you're wearing a yarmulke. Kisoy katan means a yarmulke, I guess. You know, some are smaller than others, but kisoy katan means a yarmulke. Rak bi'inan kova kamo sholchan beruchov. He said, you need a hat, just like you walk in the street. So what's the impression you get from that? You got to wear a hat or don't have to wear a hat? He says you have to wear a hat. So like...
whatever you do in the street.
Yeah, he says you have to wear a hat like you walk in the street. When was the last time you saw someone walking in the street with a hat? It's like, afternoon, ma'am. You know, like, that's not how people talk anymore and people walk anymore. So is that what he means? Is that what he means? The Chayi Adam also says it depends completely on how you walk in the street. Listen to how the Mishnah Berurah writes it. Says the Mishnah Berurah in the Sadi Aleph Sifkat Yedbeis. Ubizmanenu, again, whenever the sentence starts with Bimedina saying Ubizmanenu, it means that this is not like an ironclad halacha that, you know, is not changeable. Halacha doesn't change, right? Application of halacha might change in certain circumstances, but the halacha doesn't change. So the halacha is saying you have to dress nicely for davening. What are they arguing about, or what are they discussing? Nowadays, what do we consider dressing nicely, right? So b'medina seinu, bizmanenu, what do we consider dressing nicely? Says the Mishnah Berurah, bizmanenu, tzorich lahasim beis hatfila kova berosho, kederech shaholech beruchov. Not with your little hat under your hat, meaning yarmulke. I guess they didn't have a word for yarmulke. And you know why not? Because you would never stand that way in front of Anashim Chashuv. So again, what do you get from the Mishnah Berurah? Hat or no hat for David? What do you say? No, why not? Anashim Chashuvim. When you go meet Anashim Chashuvim, do you wear a hat? So if people don't do that in front of you. You don't even have one. You don't even own one, right? Meaning, where are you going to find one? I remember when the Rosh Yeshiva of Keren Biavne, not the current Rosh Yeshiva, the previous Rosh Yeshiva, and not the original Rosh Yeshiva, not Rav Goldbach, Rav Mordechai Greenberg, a real Israeli, you know, a Merkas Harav guy, and like huge Talmud Chacham, he had to start fundraising in America, and they had to buy him a tie. Like he had never heard of a tie. Like he didn't own one. He didn't have, like he didn't wear a tie to his wedding. He's not gonna. So how something is considered the national chashuvim really depends on time and place as well. So one could have made the argument, or could make the argument, that there's absolutely no reason to wear a hat nowadays. Comes along the Tzitz Eliezer. Who was the Tzitz Eliezer? Is that Rav Waldenberg? Good. Rav Waldenberg was the Tzitz Eliezer. He was the rabbi of Shari Tzedek, the posik for Shari Tzedek Hospital, which is a pretty important job because they deal with a lot of very serious halachic medical issues. The current rabbi of Shari Tzedek Hospital is Rav Asher Weiss. Yeah. So Rav Waldenberg wrote many, many, many volumes of tshuvas. In fact, when I went with some of my friends to meet with Rav Yisachar Friend a few weeks ago in Baltimore, and one of my chaverim asked Rabbi Friend what his shaychus with Rav Waldenberg is, because he's always quoting Tzitz Eliezer. Rabbi Friend didn't say it in these words, but he said, I'm pretty much the guy who discovered Rav Waldenberg. You know, like he said, before anyone was quoting Rav Waldenberg, he said that there used to be a library in Baltimore that was owned by, like, the Reform Movement or something, and his wife worked at a company that was in the same building as that library, so his wife used to come and bring him svarim. there. So he got all the newest volumes of Tzitz Eliezer before they were widely available. Now you can get Tzitz Eliezer. It's like a big it's a big tshuva sefer if you're starting a library for a shul or for your home, and you're trying to buy the major shalat tshuvas. So you buy an Igros Moshe, you buy Rav Avadya's tshuvas, and the next one on the list usually is a Tzitz Eliezer, right? You're going to buy Rav Waldenberg's tshuvas, but at that time it wasn't like that. So Rav Waldenberg, so Rabbi Friend, 40 years ago already, was quoting Rav Waldenberg, you know, in all of his shiurim. So he writes, Aval benogel l'tfila bebeis haknesses, mistaver hadavar, shegam hu yoda, shetzorich lichvosh mekba'as, o al kolpanim lichvosh kipa miyuchedes, shetachase es rov rosho. He says, well, now all of a sudden he stopped talking about how you dress in the street and how you stand in front of Anashim Gadolim. And he says, you know, it's really proper to wear either a hat or at least a large yarmulke that covers the majority of your head. Why? Mishum hikon. What's hikon? Hikon nekros elekach Yisrael, that when one is about to greet a Kodesh Baruch Hu, remember we discussed yesterday, do something to show that you're preparing to greet the Ribbono Shel, that you're preparing to talk to the Ribbono Shel. So he says, what better way to do that than to wear a hat? So he says, I understand people don't stand in front of a Nashim Chashuvim with a hat anymore, but you should still do it, because to fulfill, he says two things. He says, first of all, a sense of kovod rosh, a sense of seriousness, that sometimes you need to like shift mindsets before you daven. I remember when I was a camper many, 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 many years ago in Camp Masora, we used to have night activity when I was a teen, and right after night activity was Maariv. Right, that was, and at that time, the head counselor of the teen division in Camp Masora was someone by the name of Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky. He was a 25-year-old Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky was the head counselor. And before Maariv, every night, like he's looking at all these kids coming into shul, coming straight from a co-ed night activity, where I'm sure everyone was talking and learning the whole time, and you know, doing beautiful chavim or whatever. But like, and he said, okay, everyone, just take a minute. Reorient ourselves. Let's just take a minute. Like, let's get into the proper mindset for tefillah. And that minute was very important, because we were not in the proper mindset for tefillah prior to that minute. So says Tzitz Eliezer, it helps to put something on your head to sort of give you a certain sense of kovod rosh, a certain sense of seriousness, and also to show that you're preparing for the tefillah. Is that a compelling argument to wear a hat? I'm going to take another sip. Yeah.
Large yarmulke,
is it a compelling argument to wear a large yarmulke? Yours is plenty large.
Any step up from what you were wearing.
Oh, l'chora could be anything, right? It doesn't have to be a hat. It doesn't have to
remind you.
Right, as long as it's something that's special for tefillah and gives you a sense of kovod rosh, l'chora shouldn't have to be a hat. So that's not a particularly compelling argument. Comes along Rav Moshe Sternbach. Who is Rav Moshe Sternbach? Rav Moshe Sternbach is actually still alive. First person quoting that's actually still alive, Sternbach. is the guide of the Eidei Charedus, which is a very serious position. Eretz Yisrael, he's a very serious Talmud Chacham. He used to be a Rav in South Africa. He used to split his time between South Africa and Israel. And that's why he has a lot of tshuvas about Balei Tshuva. He has a lot of discussions about how to handle situations when you're a Balei Tshuva and what to do, with parents that aren't from, inviting relatives for Shabbos meals and things like, things of that nature. Why does he have a lot of tshuvas about Balei Tshuva? What does that have to do with South Africa? So anyone who knows anything about the South African Jewish community, now it's already two generations in. But a generation ago, if you were a frum Jew in South Africa, you were a Baal Tshuva, meaning that the entire frum community was Balei Tshuva. So now there are kolim and everything else, and it's become, it's perpetuated itself. But so Rav Sturmach was dealing primarily with Balei Tshuva at that time. But anyway, in his tshuvas he writes, he says, Shamati Toanim, he said, I heard those that claim, Sheberetz Yisrael, hol va'omdim gam lefnei sarim b'likova v'chalifa. He says, nowadays, you can go meet the Prime Minister of Israel, you don't have to put on a jacket even, you certainly don't have to put on a hat, and therefore maybe you should be able to daven that way. He said, I heard people say that. But he says, Ein lismo chalza. You shouldn't rely on that. Why not? It sounds like a good taina. If you could meet the Prime Minister without a hat or a jacket, right, the Prime Minister would look at you funny if you came with a hat, right? Yeah, I guess, right? So we would, I'm trying to remember who the Prime Minister currently is, keeps changing, but he'd look at you funny if you put on a hat. So he says, why? He says, there's a bunch of communists. That's where they got this from in Israel, that everybody's the same, nobody owns anything, nobody's better than anybody else. That's where the whole, the whole idea of a kibbutz and all this, much of Israeli society is built on the concept of communism, and therefore it's not a gedder of anything. Leaving aside his anti-Zionism, right, for a moment, like, is that a halachic argument? Meaning, what's he trying to say? Right, he's a big Talmud Chacham, right? What's he trying to say? So he's trying to say that if people don't dress nicely, not because, in front of Anashim Chashuv, in front of, heads of state, not because what's considered dressing nicely has changed, but because the chashivas we have for a head of state has changed. Meaning it used to be that a president was a somebody. A prime minister was somebody, but if you live in a culture where everybody's a nobody, right, where everybody is a piece of garbage, where nobody has any chashivas, so then you can't assess how you should stand based on how you stand in front of a prime minister if the prime minister's a nobody. If the prime minister is not considered anybody special or so much different than the rest of us. So you should really assess it based on people who are actually anashim chashivim. Are you convinced by that argument? Everyone's going to go buy a hat because they heard that argument from Sturmach? Why not? but make the argument. Come on. What's he saying that's not convincing?
He never said why you should. He just said why you shouldn't. You don't know how to assess what an Adam Chashev is.
He said, "In Israel, nobody's an Adam Chashev, and that's the only reason they don't wear hats. But if you go to places where there are actually Anashim Chashevim, right, so what constitutes an Anashim Chashuvim? So he seems to, I don't know when this tshuva was written, but he seems to assume if you go to any other head of state outside of Israel, I mean, he was talking about maybe like you're going to meet, Golda Meir or something like, she doesn't care that you're not wearing a hat. But if you were to go to meet, President Ford, then you would have to wear a hat. But nowadays, l'chora, any head of state, you wouldn't wear a hat. For anyone, anywhere, maybe there are some like African heads of state that you would have to wear a turban or something. I don't know, there might be, but typically, most heads of state, most of the most powerful people in the world never wear a hat themselves and they never expect anyone else to wear a hat. So l'chora, that is not convincing. The closest we get to a convincing argument, it's also not a convincing argument, Rav Belsky, zichrono levracha, used to say that Anashim Chashuvim is not defined by who's the president and who's the prime minister. Anashim Chashuvim is defined as who the Gadol Hador is. When you go visit Rav Chaim Kanievsky, do you wear a hat? Well, nowadays it would be going to a cemetery, so you probably wouldn't. But like if you go to, to whoever you view as the Gadol, Rav Gershon Edelstein, something like that, right? Would you wear a hat if you're going to visit Rav Gershon? So, no. Would you, anyone ever go visit Rav Chaim when he was alive? Anyone? No one here visited Rav Chaim? No. Yeah. Did you wear a hat?
No.
Were the other people with you wearing hats?
No.
No. Yeah. So, Rebelsky said it's a tough poshut that you go to Rav Chaim, you can wear a hat. I don't know. I went to Rav Chaim. I wasn't wearing a hat. So I'm not sure. Maybe he looked at me and was like, "What is wrong with you?" But like, you know. But it's. I don't think I'm alone in this. I think it's understood that there are hat wearing people and there are not hat wearing people, and that you know the way people get dressed up is different. So the argument for a hat is you know that there's a chiyuv to wear a hat because that's how you have to dress in order to show respect in davening is a very very weak argument. There's not much of an argument to be made for that. Is there a maila? Certainly, there's a maila in doing anything that you're going to do in order to enhance your kavanah tefillah, in order to bring to mind that you're doing something special for tefillah, right? Just like putting on the socks that we discussed yesterday, or putting on a jacket, or anything that's going to show that, like, okay, I'm about to talk to Hashem, and therefore I'm going to do something different. But it's lav dafka a hat. So a hat nowadays is much more of a social construct than it is a halachic construct. In fact, Rabbi Yisrael Reisman Shlita, when in his initial shir, where he argued against wearing the tcheles that we wear nowadays, or that many people wear nowadays, he said, it's become almost, in the Dati Lumi community, it's their black hat. You know, that's what he called it. It's like the black hat of the Dati Lumi community. So, you know, it's like saying, you know, I belong and I'm a from person. So that's so they wear. So I thought that was a stunning admission about black hats, right? That's what a black hat is. That it's you know, it's a social construct. It's not a halachic construct. I disagree vehemently about the tcheles point, because no one holds that there's a kiyum d'oraisa wearing a black hat, right? No one holds there's a pasuk in the Torah that says that you need to wear a borsalino, right? There's it doesn't say that anywhere in the Torah, but there is a pasuk in the Torah that says you have to wear tcheles. So if you think you have it, that's a pasuk in the, it's mamish a pasuk in the Torah. So that's a very very different discussion. The Beis Yosef writes that the Torah requires, before saying a bracha on the talis, that you should cover your head with something in addition to your normal yarmulke, because of yiras shamayim etznius. So this is like a different angle, meaning aside from just how you dress for davening, there is an assumption throughout Shas, and this is interesting to think about, there's an assumption throughout Shas that dafka, a head covering, enhances one's level of yiras shamayim and is an expression of tznius. That dafka, a head covering. And that was the understanding when people would meet other people, if they weren't wearing a hat, they'd say, okay, you must be very young, or just not a yiras shamayim. So that's what Beis Yosef writes. And then he says, maybe it doesn't mean they have to wear a hat, just to cover your head with the talus. Rav Shachter made a different argument. Rav Shachter thought that there's a din that we have in a number of places called Atifas HaRosh. Right, where do we have a din of Atifas HaRosh? So you have to wrap your head in something. Does it work? Anyone know if there's a remote for it somewhere? Whatever. For tomorrow. So, you gotta walk, you're an important person. So, where do you have a din of Atifas HaRosh? So, there are certain situations of very serious situations where there's a requirement of Atifas HaRosh. Like what? Kohen Gadol, okay. An Avel is Chayim Atifas HaRosh, which is interesting because most of them that you see probably don't do it, right? But there is such a din in Hilchos Avelos. The Gemara has, it's in the Gemara, it's in the Shulchan Aruch about Atifas HaRosh. I know people that when they sat Shiva wouldn't remove their hat the whole time they were sitting Shiva because they were trying to be Mekayim Atifas HaRosh. So that's a question whether that's a social construct. Doesn't sound like it. That sounds like it's a din in a certain sense of seriousness. So one could argue that the tafka covering the head has this extra maila. But again, the argument to say that wearing a hat is a requirement is not as strong. Now, you make the argument about the jacket. Based on everything that we learned, what would you say about a jacket? So certainly a kiyum of showing chashivos. Is it an obligation? I mean, what's the obligation? How do you have to dress for davening? So the Mishabrura, the Aruch HaShulchan, they all said, the way you go, Minan HaShem Chashuvim. Right, so you'd put on a suit jacket, right, if you went to Minan HaShem Chashuvim, Lechora. Ooh, so that's pretty compelling, no?
To go out on the street, you would
Ah, so is it the way that you're halich peruchov, or the way, because Mishmur said two things, right? He said anashim chashuvim and halich peruchov. That would be enough gemina. The way you're halich peruchov, people go in the street a lot of times without a jacket on nowadays. But when you're going to mean anashim chashuvim, you're always going to put on a jacket. Yeah.
I'm going to mean I'm not going to wear like different colored pants with my jacket, or also like my jacket over my shoulder.
Ah, very good. So if I'm going to meet another Mechashev, I'm not just going to put on a jacket, I'm going to put on a white shirt, I'm going to put on a suit, it's going to match, or even if it's not a suit, it's going to match, it's not going to be like, you know, my Old Navy pants and my whatever, and you know, so remember we said yesterday that the Shulchan Aruch said that you have to dress up for davening, but the Shulchan Aruch said it's unreasonable to expect a person to change his entire outfit every Wednesday afternoon mincha, right? So you just got to do something. So jacket would be a fulfillment of that something. However, if the jacket makes you look ridiculous, right? Meaning you have your LeBron James jersey and your shorts and your sneakers and your davening jacket, right? So if it makes you look ridiculous, it may be worse. Meaning in terms of anashim chashuvim. So there's that fine line that it should look nice, that you're trying to look nicer, that you're putting on a jacket. You know, sometimes a jacket doesn't have to match perfectly. Like if you win, what's that golf tournament where they get that green jacket, right? So if you sometimes like what?
It's called the Masters.
The Masters, right? So it doesn't make you look ridiculous. It makes you look dignified, even though it doesn't necessarily match, but like within reason. As far as putting it over the shoulder, so Rav Soloveitchik was Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is quoted. That he thought, and Rav Soloveitchik also, that they thought that was improper to just drape it over your shoulders. That's not the way you dress for davening. You know, with the Fnei HaMelech, why would you drape it over your shoulders? So better not to. Rav Soloveitchik, the story is told, we'll have to close with this because we're out of time. Rav Soloveitchik, the story is told, Rav Shapter writes in Nefesh HaRav, Rav Soloveitchik used to always wear a jacket, obviously, for davening. And then when he got older, at some point, he wasn't wearing a jacket. And whoever his shamish was at the time said, Rebbe, why aren't you wearing your jacket? You know, do you want me to get your jacket for you? And he said, no, I started wearing my grandfather's tefillin, Reb Chaim's tefillin. And Reb Chaim's tefillin apparently had very large batim, and he couldn't fit the sleeve of his jacket over the batim of the tefillin. So they said, okay, so why don't you just do like, you know, the yeshivish thing, button it on the side or drape it over the shoulder or something like that. He said, I would never stand in front of a melech like that, meaning one sleeve out, one sleeve in, that looks ridiculous. So he thought better not to wear a jacket at all than to wear, I mean, one could argue, so just wear your normal tefillin, but this was Reb Chaim's tefillin. If you have a chance to wear Reb Chaim's tefillin, you would think that that's a pretty big upgrade too. So anyway, maybe tomorrow, I don't know, you let me know what you want to do tomorrow. If you want to discuss jackets and cartels, or you want to move on to a different topic, it's totally up to you guys. Everyone have a great day.